Okay, right. Perek Yud, Hilchos Tumas Maase Halacha, hey, continuing discussing the laws of a Beis HaPras. Remember, again, since it's only rabbinic, the rabbis have a lot of latitude in how they apply it. And here's a good example. If the following would be Doraisa, if it was Doraisa, we could not say the next Halacha. HaChoyrish HaSakever Besodesh HaSol. Let's say Reuven goes into Shimon's field without permission. And in Shimon's field, there's a grave. And Reuven plows up Shimon's field and turns it into a Beis HaPras.
And it's going there, he plows.
Yeah. It's no different than Reuven takes a quart of milk and puts it in Shimon's chulin pot. Let me say, if Reuven would take a quart of milk and pour it into Shimon's fleishig chulin pot, what would be the halacha on the chulin pot? You don't have to think hard.
No, yeah, it's not good.
It's treif.
It's treif.
Now, if Reuven has to pay Shimon, that's another story.
Yeah.
But it's for sure treif.
It's a for sure treif.
Okay? So Reuven goes into Shimon's field. Shimon had one grave in the field. And Reuven just plows it up.
But this is rabbinic now. The other one's a raisa.
So now what's going to happen to the field? So the halacha is Eina osa beis apras. It does not become a beis apras at all. Why? Shein adam oiser dover she'ena shalo. Person cannot prohibit something that doesn't belong to him. So now, can't, now obviously, in certain cases, there's no choice you're prohibiting it. But here, where it's more of either rabbinic or mental, for example, Gemara Chulin says if someone takes someone else's animal and slaughters it for avodah zara, it's not going to work because it's not your animal to do that. Okay. Anyway, the point being, where there is no choice, you mix meat and milk, it's not a question I can't answer someone else's. It's just, it doesn't matter who it owns, belongs to. It's just been damaged. It's been damaged. But where it's more of a thing where, come on, I bowed down to a cow, right? I mean, I didn't do anything to the cow.
No.
So if it's another guy, we don't allow that to be chal, as it were. So the whole base of process is only rabbinic anyway. It's not a biblical tumah. So I said, we're not going to apply the rabbinic tumah when someone wants to mess somebody else. Further to that, afilu shutav, let's say the guys are partners in the field, or oris, or one is a sharecropper, or a petropus, or one is a executor over the orphans, Enos a beis apras, and they plow it through. It also doesn't make it a beis apras. Okay, how about, let's say I got
a partner. He owns the field.
Doesn't matter. He can't mess up the other guy's part. Can't mess up the other guy. We equally own this field. And guys, I want to mess it up. Too bad. You can't mess up the other guy. And since you're equal partners, nothing happens. Charash kever besada shelo v'shel chaver. What if you have two adjacent fields? And let's say each one is 50 by 50.
Oh.
Okay, or 50 by 100. And now he just plows, and the grave is in one of the fields, I don't care which. He just plows the whole 100 square amas.
So
now what happens here is, in one shot, as if it's one field, but it's two fields. Shalos Abras, he makes his own a base of pras. Shachaverei knows, but his friend's not a base of pras because it's two separate demarcated fields.
It's one action.
Doesn't matter. Remember, it's the rabbis decide when they want to apply it. So for him, he can mess himself up. He can't mess up the other guy.
It's really inconsistent. Either you have the barley corns all over the place or not.
Like I said, Doraisa, if you make a base of pras, Doraisa, there's no tumah, period. The rabbis are laying a rabbinic prohibition when they see fit. That's it. So they decide when they see fit. There is no tumah there. It's only a rabbinic tumah. So they're going to say likely situations, unlikely situations, trying to hurt somebody, we're not going to allow that to happen. The rabbis have total jurisdiction of how they want to apply it. It's not a biblical law here. So then,
did he do the plowing, or did he do?
He did everything.
He did.
No, it's nothing with the burying. It's nothing with the burying.
Already
was there.
Okay, so he did.
So the guy just messed up rabbinically. Was trying to rabbinically mess things up by making it all into a base of pras. Okay, lachavav goy shecharash kever b'sadeh. What if a goy plows through a field? In a kever in his field, and let's say a goy owns a field, he has his own field, and there's a Jewish body buried there, and the goy plows it up. Ain't all a base of pras. It doesn't become a base of pras. Ain't base of pras. The rabbis did not decree on any non-Jewish fields to be base of pras. Okay, fine. Continuing this idea of where we're not going to apply it. Let's say you've got a mountain, a hill, and you have two fields adjacent to each other. One field is at higher and one is lower. The higher field is one field. The lower one's a second field. The higher field had a grave.
The lower field.
Roger didn't. The higher field was plowed up as a base of pras, and the second field was not. So far, top field is a base of pras, bottom isn't. Then the monsoon rains came. And it rains, and now you could see, let's say the upper field had a distinct color, and the lower one had a different distinct color, and after the rain, the colors, smudged.
Blended.
Whatever. And now, so clearly, soil from the top went down to the bottom. There's clearly, like, no question about it. That's the case. Stay base of pras lamal. If you have a field of a base of pras that's on the upper part of the slope, v'sada tahor lamata, and there's a pure field below, v'shat fuk shomim me'e for base of pras latahor. Now the waters and the rains have swept soil from the top field to the bottom field. Afilo haisa aduma levina. Even the lower field was reddish color and now became whitish color. Olafan or the bottom was whitish color, then became reddish color. Torah star. Why? A new rule, the rabbi said. Shein beis apras, osa beis apras. One beis apras cannot make another beis apras.
Lo
gazra tuma ella al gush kibriyasa. The rabbi's own decree, the tuma, on the clod of earth as it is the way it was created, and not on earth that's moved from one place to another place. That's again when they decided to make the decree. Okay. Now, furthermore, when the rabbi said the beis apras has tuma, how deep into the ground does the tumah go rabbinically? Remember, there's really no tumah. How much tumah are the rabbis decreeing? How far down into the soil do they make the decree? So beis hapras is a real legitimate beis hapras. It's a regular beis hapras now. The guy plowed it out. He has the status of beis hapras. Again, reviewing. It means if you take a clod of earth out, that will give tumah touching or moving. Not ohel. So now, what can you plant in this beis hapras? So beis hapras is that mutalin bo'abo kol nata. You can plant any tree you want, even if you plan on pulling it out afterwards. Lefisha shroshim yorda lamata mishlosha, because the roots go lower than three tefachim into the ground. You don't have to worry that any bit of the bone will be attached to that. And when you're going to pull out the tree, it will take out some of the bone with that. It's not in that area. Okay? Now, all right?
In other words, they go deep, but they come all the way up?
Yeah, but it's not going to affect...
Where's the root system?
It's not going to affect...
Does it come back to ground level?
The real roots are below.
So what is it that attaches the tree to the ground if it's not the root system that goes all the way to ground level?
We're talking about the grounds below. We're talking about below the surface of the
roots are going way more than three tefachim down.
The roots are down way below. Surely the root system must go right to the ground level, doesn't it?
Well, you're planting it in the ground.
Right.
Okay, but the main tree is not... The main nourishment is not coming from
there. Not even 90.
You're saying the main nourishment comes from the ends of the roots.
It's coming all the way down.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So they go way down. Ulamata mishlosh beis apras tar. And whatever's below three tefachim from a beis apras is tar.
So that's the number.
Sharei hakever nifras al pnei hasada, because the grave was spread across the face.
But the plow can only go three tefachim.
Right, the plow only goes so far. That's the whole point. Three tefachim, that's a lot. You don't plow more than that in a field.
No idea.
Okay, but that's about how much you're going to go. So it's not going to go any more than that. Aval ein zorin b'soch. But what if you're going to seed in it and just planting little seeds? You can only plant seeds. Elazera haniktzor. Ones that are cut. You just cut it, but you don't pull out the roots. Vimzora v'okar. Now, if you plant it in a way that it goes deeper and it pulls out. And here's the problem. When you're pulling out, you might pull out some bones. Okay, that's going to be the problem. So if you do the kind of plants that, let's say, I guess, like a radish, I think you pull it out, right? Pull them out, right? As opposed to herbs. So you're pulling it out, you're pulling out a clot of dirt, now you got a problem. Could have pulled out a bone. That's a problem.
Same thing with onions.
So you shouldn't do that, but if you did that, there's still a way to fix things up. What do you do? So what do you got? What's the worst that you have? Well, I pulled out a bunch of vegetables, and there's earth and vegetables, and maybe some bones. So what do you do? Sover es garda basocho. He has to gather everything that he harvested now, that he shouldn't have been doing, inside the field. Vechover, and he sifts es hatfua, the grain, bishteik for his two different shaped sifters, so you have two different shapes of bone that you could catch. And its beans, legumes, because of its size, because you have the three different size sifters to get an accurate sifting. And what's the concern? Because then, legitimately, you may have a bone the size of a barley corn, and therefore you'd have to sift it. We'll talk about it in a second. And once you've sifted it, you may have a few bones over there. And you've sifted out the bones, or even if you don't see any bones, but you know they're now in these vegetables, there are no bones. You're going to pack the vegetables in a bag, whatever. You know there are no bones in it. So you're going to say, well, maybe the bone was metama some of the carrots when you sift them out. We'll address that in a minute. Okay, but now what about some other junk that's byproducts there? Vesori vesakash vesaitza shum, and there's you always loose hay or straw together that grows next to these crops. So you burn them there because they have no use, and they could have touched some bones. You just burn it there. Here's the point. What are we concerned of here now for everything? It could maybe be a bone the size of a barley corn. Now, vimtatelo bahania. If you're going to allow a person to have benefit from it without either burning the straw and the loose hay or sifting it, what could happen is, motzi umochro, you would bring out the bone and sell it, v'nimtza margalus atumi, you are facilitating someone to become tame through that. Now, the question is, wait a minute. So let's say you sifted it. Okay. And let's say you sifted out a bone that was touching a carrot. So wouldn't the carrot be tame?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. Because number one, when the carrot is connected to the ground, and let's say it touches a bone when it's connected to a ground, that's not a problem,
right?
Because it's mechubar lakarka.
Right.
Any vegetables that connect to the ground cannot be tummy. The earth can't be tummy per se. Okay. Now what happens? Okay, let's say you pulled it out.
Okay.
Well, pulling it out, we know that vegetables can only contract tummy if what happens first?
They're wet.
They're what?
Wet.
They get wet. And they're not getting wet because you're harvesting it right now and putting it away.
Right.
So therefore, even if it touched it, it will not make it tummy. And therefore, we've got to do this sifting process to make sure that nothing has become tummy. And that is really the main concern. So with a tree, maybe the tree bumped into a little bit of bone, but it's already mechubar lakarka, so it can't become tummy.
Right.
The fruits are on the top, so there's nothing to worry about that, right? Little greens, little things that you're growing that don't go very much at all. You just cut it from the top, you're not bringing up any earth with it.
Right.
That's not a problem.
Herbs.
But when you're pulling out vegetables, now you're pulling out dirt, and there's dirt, maybe there's a bone, so you have to sift out the bone to get rid of that problem. Okay, now, how large could a base of pros theoretically be? We said 10,000 amas, 100 by an amma, but that's per corpse. So now, sada shehuskha shi base of pros, that's a field that you know is a base of pros. You know it is. It could be how big? I feel he based dalid kurim. It could have 4 kur.
Wow.
Now, a kur is 30 saw. So 4 kurim is 120 saw. So that's, now we said a base of process, 4 base saw.
Yeah, yeah.
And 30 kurim is 120 base saw. That's 30 times 10,000. So you figure the math, 300,000 square feet. If I have the math right, it might be wrong. But anyway, it's taking 100,000 square feet times 30. Okay? And why? Because if there would be 30 corpses. Now, we have to know that there are 30 corpses. if you know there are 30 corpses there, then you could, and they, it wasn't a cemetery, which is a very difficult situation. Let's say people just decide. Well, no, we can assume, but let's say we know people did it on purpose and weren't allowed to bury. They had no permission, they buried.
Yeah, 30 times.
Yeah, a lot of times people don't listen. I don't want you to bury my plot. They do it anyway. So that's not a real official cemetery. Official cemetery we allocate as a cemetery. When you're coming up feels 100 years old, we don't know. We assume it's a cemetery. But let's say we know people buried without permission. So therefore, it could be a very huge base of pras. That's the only thing the Rambam is telling us here. Even though it can't go any further, even though it's adjacent to very muddy, soft land, it's not plowed. And what's adjacent could never be a base of pras. Or even if not tamei field surrounded on all four sides, still it could have a chazaka. Once you've established that it's a base of pras, it remains a base of pras no matter what's going on around the base of pras, to a maximum of as many bodies times 10,000 square feet.
Are you saying how close the bodies have to be together?
That's already going back to other issues of determining if it's a Jewish corpses and that
cemetery. No, it's not a cemetery.
It has to be Jewish corpses. It doesn't really matter. I understand what you're asking. What if there's 30 corpses all in one spot? But it seems that per corpse. Remember, the rabbis made the rules. They say per corpse, 10,000 square feet. Okay, Yud is identical to what we learned a parak and a half ago, and the only reason Rambam brings it is for the last halacha, which is a chiddush. What's the case? Matzah sodom etzienis. You see a field that is marked all around. That got that lime all around. So, you know, there's a problem in this field, but we're not sure what the problem is, because it could be one of two problems. We don't know the nature of the problem here. All right. Is it something that there it was a plowed up base of pras, or that there was one grave lost in the base of pras, which would have different halachas? Okay, if there's one lost, you don't know where it is in the whole field. Well, I'm concerned anywhere in that field, it could be a problem. So you'd mark it up, and if you chopped it up, it's a base of pras. You're not sure what the status is. Could there be tumasol or not?
In the old days,
so now there's ways. What?
In the old days, was there a sign up to tell you?
They put lime. They put lime to demarcate. We had that in the previous Rambam.
But if it was lime, did we know for sure it was just
we don't know which one it is. That's the question. Okay. So we need to look for other factors to tell us what's going on over here. So we have to see if there's other clues. If there's no clues, then we're not sure. We'll have to be machmir. But there are clues that could be there that would give us an answer. If there are trees planted, then we know it's a base of pras. We know there was a grave that was plowed out, because it was a tree. If there was a dead body there, you could not plant trees there. If there are no trees, but in other places there were trees, and we know Badafka, the guy did not plant a tree here, then we know there's a kever, because remember, you can't plant a tree because then it would nurture from the kever. So then the absence or the presence of a tree could tell us which one it is. Alright? Mm-hmm. However, we also have to know that there was somebody who knew that the people who did what they did knew what they were doing. You could say, well, what about an idiot who has a kever that's lost and he plants a tree at Keneged Halacha? How do you know there aren't people who go against Halacha?
Right.
So now is the new halacha Rambam didn't say before, the caveat for who and when do we say that the trees is a proof or not? There's an old rabbi who knows halacha, who was supervising the field, who knew what was going on in the field and had a say-so of the field. So therefore, if anybody would have done something inappropriate, he would have stopped them. Right. Because if we don't have that, then we have a problem. Not even as an expert, we owe him to know that you're allowed to plant in one type of field. You're not allowed to plant in a different field. Tomorrow, we will discuss the problem you guys brought up yesterday. Can you walk through the base of pras? That was the issue we talked about yesterday, and I will discuss that. Okay, shkoyach.